Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness gracious. It's your boys, your favorite tag team, your favorite dynamic duo, Lee and Keys, Real Talk, on this Wednesday night. You know how we do. Got a big card this weekend. We got Adesanya versus Pereira 2 in the UFC. We got Burns versus Masvidal, you know. But it's always good to talk about the fights. We got breaking news with WWE and UFC signed a $21 billion deal with Endeavor. You know, a lot of people have been talking about that. But we shall see how everything shake out. But I have to introduce my co-host. What's up, Keys? What's up, bro? How you doing tonight?
What up, baby? I'm out here, man. I'm good. I'm chilling. You know, it's another good day on the East Coast. You know, about to get into it, man. We got some big things to talk about here. There's a couple of events out there. We'll see if there's one that you're interested in. You end up bringing it up. That's fine. But you know what we got to talk about, man. You know. So I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, man. So, like I said, UFC 287 this weekend. But, you know, I don't know whether or not you've been following the news about the WWE and UFC signing a $21 billion deal with Endeavor. And, you know, of course, when people see the $21 billion, they immediately go to fighters pay and how is this going to affect the product, la, 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 la. From what I have read and from what I have heard, both UFC and WWE will be their own entities, and they will continue to do business as it is right now. So, people, calm down. Just because people are signing, you know, marketing and TV deals, everything else is intertwined with that. It doesn't mean you're going to have WWE wrestlers fighting UFC guys in the octagon and UFC guys infiltrating WWE. No, that's not the plan. The plan is for them to have their libraries and their product under one umbrella so people that enjoy combat sports will have to go to one major place or one place to get that content. As of right now, WWE is still on the Peacock and UFC is still on the ESPN. But I'm thinking once those deals expire, then all they stuff will be under one umbrella and you should better enjoy it. Keys, I don't know whether or not you've been in the know on that, but you know, how do you feel about WWE and UFC being under one umbrella?
Yeah, so, you know, when I just hopped in, I'm like, yo, you know what we got to talk about? You know, that's what I was getting to. You know, I figured, you know, I definitely thought, and I figured you would, I figured you saw it as well. We hadn't talked about it, but I knew it. I mean, that's you're more of a, or at least a more current wrestling fan than me. I mean, I was a wrestling fan, you know, when I was younger, in the early 2000s, I was, you know, super into WWE, John Cena's my guy. But either way, I figured both of us are fans enough to where we probably had both seen it. And yeah, that's why when I came on, I'm like, you know what we got to talk about. And I actually wasn't talking about the pay-per-view this weekend. I mean, you know, we got to talk about that too. And we of course will, but yeah, I really wanted to get to this deal, and I'm glad you just went right into it. How I feel about it is that, you know, at first I didn't know that they were calling it a merger. I didn't know that. I thought it was just Endeavor, you know, the company who owns the UFC. I thought they were just buying the WWE and they were just going to be under the same ownership, which doesn't really mean that much. You know, that's not, to me, that doesn't communicate a merger. You know, I didn't know that's what they were saying. I thought it was just, oh, they're going to be under the same ownership. Okay, that's cool. But then they said merger, so I'm like, okay. I don't really know what that entails, but I think it's pretty cool. of course, you know, people went to the fighter pay thing. I mean, that's cool too. If that does influence that somehow, then that's great. But if it doesn't, oh well. Of course, I think all the fighters should be paid more. When I say that at first, it's like people are like, oh, you're like, you know, you don't think the pay is bad. And I'm like, no, obviously we've said that so many times about fighter pay, but it's like, what, like how long you want me to beat a dead horse? Like, that's really what it feels like talking about fighter pay. Yeah. It's like, that's really what it feels like talking about fighter pay. I mean, we had that thread that we got looped into, you know, with our account, you know, probably it was since our last show. It was sometime in between. It might've been this past weekend. And like, I tweeted at, I tagged you on it. I tweeted at there was that fighter from ONE Championship who posted a picture of her contract. She was making, I think it was, you know how a lot of the UFC fighters will make 10 and 10, you know, which is really bad.
Yeah, I saw that.
10 grand. Yeah, so she posted things. I think she was making 1,500 and 1,500, you know. So she's basically making 1,500. If she loses, and she'll make $3,000 if she wins. So obviously we know that's minimal. That is minimal guap. You know what I mean? That is the lowest payout I've ever heard of for in fight. That is crazy. And obviously I tweeted at that and I'm like, yeah, like whatever I said. And, you know, people started coming at me crazy and coming at us saying that, like, obviously the UFC pays the most and you're trying to like glorify the UFC pay, you know, they were trying to make it sound like I was saying, and that's not what it was. I was just pointing out that it's, and I made this point very clear to most of the people that responded. I said, look, what I'm saying is that I'm pointing out the fact that objectively every time that a fighter goes to another organization, what's one of the first talking points that they bring up once they get interviewed or they're at the pre-fight or the post-fight presser? What's one of the first things they always say? All these dudes, Corey Anderson, all these fighters that have recently gone, what do they say? They say, oh, I'm getting paid more, you know, here than I was at the UFC, or I got paid more here in one fight than I did in my whole career at the UFC. I'm pretty sure Corey Anderson said that when he went to Bellator. And so the reason why that I said it that way was to point out the hypocrisy or just the blatant lies, because it's just to point out that these fighters love to say these things, and then once the payouts get revealed, they're barely making anything. You know, like we when you put up the last Corey Anderson fight, what they say that he made, you know, it's like, so I'm just pointing out that it's, they love to point the finger at the UFC every time they talk about fighter pay, but at the same time, none of these leagues seem to be paying more than the UFC. So I'm not saying that all of them should be paying more. They try to make it seem like I was protecting the UFC and saying like, oh, like this is where the scale should be at of fighter pay. It's like, no, it's not what I was saying. Yes, they should all get paid more. Yes, but I was just pointing out that they love to point the finger every time it comes up and make it like it's, you know, the UFC doesn't pay enough. Like, no, none of you guys pay enough either. You actually pay way less. So that was just what I was pointing out. It's like, you can't point the finger when you're paying a tenth of what the UFC just paid, you know, that fighter in the same division. You can't do that. Like, obviously they should all get paid more, but you can't do that when you're paying a tenth of what the UFC pays. I don't care how big the company is. I don't care. I really don't care about that. It's, you cannot say it and act like this, oh, we're the best organization, and you know your fighter is getting paid $1,500 on the line in a cage, and if they don't win, they're only going to make $1,500, which they might not even make any money after they pay their trainers and they pay the nutritionist and you know they pay for their travel or whatever, they, you know, all these you know, different expenses that are going to be a part of that. They might not even make any money after. They might even be down money. They might even lose money. If that woman loses that fight and she only ends up making $1,500, now she goes and pays for gym. She pays the nutritionist. She pays for the travel. Maybe she even has to pay for a team. I don't know what different things they have, but I know these are all expenses that you hear about, and it's realistic. She might even end up losing money fighting for that contract, fighting on that contract. So that's what I was just trying to point out, and nobody seems to have an answer for that. You know, where's everybody trying to find the answer for that? It only became about me you know, trying to make it like I'm glorifying what the UFC pays. No, I think they should pay more too, but you can't point the finger back and act like you, you know, you can't do that. So regardless, no, I had to just get that off. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not sorry, but for real, I had to get that off.
Mom, you don't have to apologize because it's true. It's everybody when they see the $21 billion, the first thing they go to is fighters are going to start getting paid more. That's not necessarily true. Fighters have to fight to get paid more. You have to fight for your worth. You have to go to war with the UFC to get what you think you're due. Masvidal got a contract increase because they said, hey, man, we need you to come in short notice to fight this fight. And they renegotiated his contract. Boom. He ended up getting more money. John Jones moving up to heavyweight. Francis Ngannou leaves the UFC. The UFC renegotiates his contract. Boom. Gives him more money. The thing is my stance has always been the promotion that you fight under should pay your camp fees, your travel fees, and your medical. Everything else should come back to you. If you got a $1,500 show, $1,500 win, that $3,000 should all be yours. You shouldn't have to pay the people that you train with. All that should be covered by your organization. Being that they are making money on you showing up and being in their event. They are banking on you to be professional enough to show up. So I always have been on the side of pay the fighters camp fees, medical, travel, and they pocket whatever their show and bonus is. To me, that's easy money because most of these events, they sell out. They make a lot of money at the gate. So why not share that with your fighters? Combat sports is one of the hardest sports to judge as far as salaries because everybody in the UFC or in MMA and Bellator and ONE, they're not all draws. They all not stars. So everybody not going to be paid equal, but everybody should be paid their fair share. Whatever their fair share is, that's up to them and their team to determine what their fair share is, and you negotiate that, and you set a hard line on what that figure should be. But, excuse me. Oh, my man Keys, we kicked this horse long enough, but we can't, as fans, fight for the fighters. The fighters have to fight for themselves. They have to fight to get what they think they are worth. I always said they should unionize, but that will never happen. But it is what it is, man. Hey, Keys, what else on your mind tonight?
I just want to say, too, like I've been doing in the past couple of shows, just to let y'all know, I live tweet the shows so you can get our sound bites. / go ahead and follow us at Lee and Keys, capital RT, on Twitter.
That's right.
Just to let y'all know if you missed the show, you know, some of the highest ranked sound bites from the show I put up on our Twitter. So just to let y'all know that. Secondly, what's on my mind tonight first is, and as far as that deal, I'll probably leave it at this because we really don't know. It's one of those things we kind of have to just see how it plays out because, like you said, if they're both going to continue operating as planned, regularly scheduled programming, they're going to operate the way they've been going and things aren't going to change. But you do have, like, you know, seems like Vince McMahon, you know, he's the what they call him, like the executive director, something like that. And obviously you get the interview there and they're intertwined, but it seems like they're both running, you know, separately. So that's just something we're going to have to see how it plays out. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that you see some appearances, you know, maybe, you know, McGregor pops up on a Monday Night Raw or something like that, I could definitely see them doing some, crossover promotions, things. I wouldn't doubt you see like some UFC promotion at the WWE event or vice versa. You see some WWE ads during this weekend's broadcast, or maybe even see it on canvas. I could definitely get that. Secondly, Lee, and to all the listeners, I just want to point this out right now. Shout out to Matt Prevola is a UFC fighter, and he just followed us on Twitter. So that's crazy. Matt, I don't know if it's Travola or Matt Prevola, but I do like his fights. I've been watching him for a while. My bad if I mispronounce your name, but shout out to him. He puts on absolute banger fight of the night quality fights, and he was just tweeting a little bit earlier, who needs a follow, something along those lines, and I tweeted, I tweeted back at him, and next thing you know, he just popped up, he followed us, so that's crazy. I want to say that's probably the first active fighter that has followed us. I know we have some retired veteran fighters. We have OGs in the game. I'm pretty sure we have a few that follow us, but I want to say, and shout out to them, but I want to say that's the first active UFC fighter, active roster that has followed us. So that's super dope. So shout out to him. I'm looking forward to his next fight. And the thing that's on my mind tonight is I got to ask you about this, and you're going to have to tell me. WrestleMania, man. The people want to know what happened at WrestleMania, man. I know a lot of so I was following it on and by the way, WrestleMania just went down this past, I think it was Saturday and Sunday. I think they did two nights. Usually do two nights. And so I was following the updates, and what happened, man? The Roman Reigns, people aren't happy about the match. I heard about it. My timeline was making it seem like Roman Reigns dominated the match. You had the Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio match went down. I saw a picture from Dominic or Dom. I don't know how they refer him from his walkout. Looking pretty crazy. I see he was wearing the mask. He definitely had some crazy things. John Cena and I think it was John Cena and Theory for the U.S. title went down. You had the tag titles. I saw the Usos. The Usos defended the tag. Tell the people, man, what happened? Were you watching WrestleMania this past weekend, or you didn't get a chance to catch it?
Oh, yeah, I watched. I think a lot of people mad at WrestleMania because Cody Rhodes didn't beat Roman Reigns. A lot of people had it in their head that, hey, the way they're building up, Cody is going to do this. Cody going to get it done. But at the same time, it's like sometimes wrestling can't give the fans what they want. They have to keep building and building. They did give the fans what they wanted with the Usos losing the tag belts to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which was a good match, you know. Charlotte Flair lost to Rhea Ripley, which I thought, you know, I was like, well, Charlotte is better than all these girls. And you could tell it when she gets in the ring. But overall, WrestleMania was a good watch. I'm glad it's 2 days instead of one. I'd rather watch wrestling for 3 hours on a Saturday than another 3 hours on a Sunday than basically watching wrestling for 8 hours all day Sunday. But one thing I'm weary of is Vince McMahon have somehow weaseled his way back into being backstage and offering his input. And for people who don't follow WWE, since Vince McMahon been gone and Triple H been in charge and Shawn Michaels been in charge of NXT, the product is 10 times better, more watchable. And as a fan, you are more invested than what they was doing when Vince McMahon was running it. Wrestling is an acquired taste like some wine, some tequilas, some cognacs, you know. If you having grown up on wrestling, you try to get into wrestling right now, you probably won't like it because you are probably into UFC. You are probably a UFC fan and probably couldn't relate to wrestling. Now, as older folks, wrestling is cool. It's still cool. Even though the outcome is predetermined, we want to see you get to the predetermined outcome. But overall, you know, I would give it probably 8 out of 10 stars. It was well-produced. The fans showed up. The matches was good. It was a good show, man, for 2 days. So, like I said, I would give it 8 out of 10. I don't know what other people ranking it as, but that would just be me. But it was a good watch.
Now, I'll ask you this, as far as the, okay, so as far as the main event, did you really have a prince in that match? Did you care who won that match, or were you just kind of like, let's just see it. Let's just hope for a good show. Are you a Roman Reigns fan? I know that's
actually
that's Dusty Rhodes' son, right? Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted Roman Reigns to win because I want him to be in that same range as Bruno Sammartino Jr. I think he was a champ for like 4 years, something like that. And I don't have a problem with Roman being the champ. My only problem with the WWE right now is you have two titles and both are on one guy. Put one title on Monday Night Raw and put another title on Friday Night SmackDown. That way you have more people that can challenge for the belts and you have more of fan favorites fighting for the belt. And when you have fan favorites fighting for the belt, more people will put eyes on the product. But I was rooting for Roman Reigns to win, but I'm at a way now that I want them to take probably the Raw belt, put it on Raw, and leave the blue belt on Roman Reigns since he is a blue belt athlete on Friday nights.
So now, this is one more thing I want to get to. I think it was a Hell in a Cell match.
Yep.
Edge, who's back from, that was when I was really into WWE back then, is when Edge had long hair, you know, rated our superstar Edge. I mean, really, it was even before that, but I was kind of like, that when he went to that, it was kind of like when I really was starting to dislike him, but that's because Edge was so good. Edge has always been such a great – Edge is one of the greatest ever, man. That guy – I was reading about him the other day, and they were saying that back when Undertaker had the undefeated WrestleMania streak, Edge was saying that – I don't know how true it is, but Edge was saying that originally they wanted him to face Undertaker at WrestleMania and be the one to snap the undefeated streak. But I guess Edge, he refused it, and he's like, I can't do it. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, I'm just not going to be, he's like, I'm not going to be that guy. I can't do it. And so he turned it down, and then whatever way they had, having Brock Lesnar do it or whoever it was. And Edge is a real one, man. And, yeah, so that was, so I guess you had the Edge and Finn Balor, Hell in a Cell match. Man, I saw the video of Edge hitting – Finn Balor was already laid out, bro. I don't know what he – that match – it looked like that match was crazy. I could just get the feeling off that short video I watched. I was like, damn, this seems like it was a crazy match. But Finn Balor was already laid out, bro. He looked dead on the canvas. I don't know what had just happened. But and then Edge hit him with the steel chair, bro, and that was where he he got the pin and the match was over. But I'm like, man, this dude Finn Balor looked like he was messed up, man. I saw the picture after somebody posted a picture. I'm pretty sure it was his head, and I think he had to get – I don't know if that was his forehead or if that was on top of his head, bro, but it was
that
like
– That was on top
head
of his
was
head.
Split open.
Yep.
Man, that's – damn, I don't really like that, man. That's kind of scary. It looked like he had to get – He probably had to get stitches all down his head, bro. That looked like a pretty bad cut.
I was tripping because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they look at wrestling, they think it's fake. Only thing fake about wrestling is the outcome. The outcome is already predetermined. But the wrestler still got to go in and tell their story in the ring. When I saw that ladder hit him in the head, I was like, there's no way he's going to be able to continue this match. Because of the way the ladder hit him, the ladder hit him flush in the tender spot. And I was like, man. But, you know, WWE doctors and trainers come out, clean the blood up, talk to him and be like, hey, can you continue? Can you continue? Hey, we really need you right now. Hey, can you continue? What we'll do is we'll do this with the match to make sure you don't take any further damage. Can you continue? So, you know, man, it was a good match. It was probably one of my top five matches of the weekend, Edge and Finn Balor. But, you know, man, I just hope Finn Balor comes out of this on the other end, you know, better than he was prior. Because I know some of those head injuries can take people out of their game. So I'm just hoping that he come back and be bigger and better than he was.
Yeah, man, I really hope so, too. When I saw that picture, I was like, damn, you know, that on the ads, you know, on the commercials years ago, they would always say, like, you know, even though this is World Wrestling Entertainment, you know, the injuries are real. And that's something that I gets lost in it, you know, in the whole idea of, like, feeling like, oh, you know, this is a predetermined outcome and all this, and the match is, you know, already set a certain way, you know, either this person, you know, is already set or not, and, you know, it's like, you know, the stunts, anything they do can always, you know, it can go wrong at any point. You know, it's not, there's really, they're professionals for a reason, you know, they're very high-level professionals, and, you know, they're on the, you know, the biggest stage for a reason. It seems to me that, you know, things can go wrong at any point, you know. What was that moment back then? I think it was Undertaker. I think it was Undertaker and Shane O'Mac. I think that was the match. I think it was Undertaker and Shane, right? A couple of years ago at WrestleMania. I remember, I don't know if I was watching it, I remember if I like saw the video the next day. And I think it was Undertaker and Shane O'Mac, and I think it was supposed to be Shane was supposed to end. I'm almost positive, but I don't think he was supposed to. I think it was, they were saying Undertaker was, at one point, he was like laid out on top of the commentary booth on one of them. Shane O'Mac climbed up the top of the stage because they were doing a steel cage match or a Hell in a Cell or something, and Shane's nuts, man. This guy literally, I don't know if that was even part of it, if he was supposed to jump off the top of the cage. I'm not sure, like, if they planned that, but that was crazy. That was very crazy to do. And Shane jumps off, and he was trying to hit a frog splash or what he would call it. And when he's coming down, Undertaker rolls. So Shane just got sent himself to Undertaker. I'm pretty sure I think he ended up winning the match, like, or it was, like, shortly after that. But Shane was messed up, man. I remember that because I don't think he was supposed to go through the – he was supposed to land on Undertaker. That's how it was supposed to happen. That's what they said. But then Undertaker ended up rolling off the table, and so he got out of the way, and Shane got sent. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember.
So, like, that right
he
there.
He even got hurt.
He
tore his quad most of Sunday. He came in Sunday, and I was telling my son, I was like, man, Shane look out of shape. I was like, that shirt looked a little snug. And my son was like, well, you know, he probably only been practicing a couple weeks for WrestleMania. And I was like, man, this ain't a good look. So he went for the first move, and he came down wrong. Went for the second move. I was like, yep, he's not in shape. His body ain't ready for this. And it is what it is, man. It's just people look at pro wrestling, and although, once again, the outcome is predetermined, they'll have to go in and make those moves look real to the people that are watching it. And sometimes making those moves look real, sometimes they, you know, get serious injuries. And it is what it is. It comes with the territory of being in that profession. So, you know, I felt bad for Shane. But at the same time, when I looked at Shane, I was like, he's not in shape. And lo and behold, he wasn't in shape. His body wasn't ready for what he was asked to do during that segment of WrestleMania.
Yeah. You know, hope for the best for in Finn Balor. And salute to all of them for putting on a WrestleMania. It seems like it was a dope event. Like I said, I didn't watch it live, but I was checking the updates because I've started to tap into the wrestling a little bit more lately, especially where I knew John Cena was on WrestleMania. I know he lost, but I did see that John Cena actually submitted Theory, but the ref didn't see it. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, let's UFC. You trying to get into the?
Yeah, let's go ahead and look at the main card and give our predictions, man. I think we got a little bit of time, you know. So on the main card, we got let me pull it up. We got one of these fights. I can't believe they even scheduled, but the main event is Adesanya versus Pereira for the middleweight championship. Adesanya is favored at -135. Pereira is at +115. And the co-main event, we got Gilbert Burns fighting Jose Masvidal. Gilbert Burns is -475. Masvidal is +350. Then we have Ron Funk going against Adrian Yanez, which should be a great fight. -190 for Yanez and +160 for Font. And we got Kevin Holland fighting Ponzinibbio. We got Kevin Holland at -250. No, that ain't right. My bad. Looking at the wrong one. Kevin Holland at -260, Ponzinibbio +210. But when you look at this card, you got Kevin Gastelum fighting on the prelims. Michelle Waterson / Gomez fighting on the prelims. You got Meek Sharp, who is once time a contender, fighting Piper, who is up and coming, fighting on the prelims. So there are, hey, we got Cynthia Calvillo on the early prelims. Wow. But if that's the card this Saturday, Key, so which fight are you going to be laser focused in on, and why?
Fight that I'm going to be really looking at, speaking of which, I thought I saw Kevin Holland posting something that if he wasn't sure if Ponzinibbio was going to fight, that's definitely one that I think is a fight of the night potential. But yeah, man, realistically for me, there's two fights here. Really, the top three fights, I'm going to be lasered in on all of these top three fights, realistically. But overall, I think the fight of the night my boy Rob Font's fighting, man. So I think that's always fighter than that potential right there. But the fight, for me, is the main event, man. Alex Pajeda and Israel Adesanya 2 is – that's the one for me, man. I'm really – you know, I might not even – I might have to shut my phone off during that fight, man. You're not going to see any updates from me. You're not gonna have anything, man. This is a big fight, man. This is a big fight. And, you know, your boy Keys might have a couple, you know, might have put a couple of dollars on the fight as well. So, you know, that's a factor as well. But, you know, huge rematch either way. And I'm just like, it's crazy to see Israel Adesanya as a contender again. You know, I saw a video of him a little while ago wearing the blue shorts. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of crazy to see Adesanya without the belt, without the champion shorts. It's kind of surreal, man, because we really haven't. He's been the champ for a while. He was the champ for like, you know, a good three years. He was the champ, and it's definitely crazy. But yeah, that's my fight right there as the main event, bro.
Yeah, man. Hey. Well, let's jump in it, man. Where you want to start at with our predictions?
Well, first, you got to give your fight.
Mine is easy. Mine is easy. I want Gilbert Burns to watch Masvidal so we can get rid of Masvidal, man. I think Masvidal time has came and gone. I think he was overhyped. I don't think he was ever that good of a fighter. I think he caught a lucky knee, and then he fought Nate Diaz for this BMF belt. But ever since then, he has been basically – so I want Gilbert Burns to go ahead and end Masvidal's career in the UFC, and let's get this over with so we can start having him pop up here and there, fighting this top five contender, when he knows his skill set isn't up to par with them guys. So that's the fight I'm on my own. And I already told y'all what I want to happen in the fight. Whether or not it happens, we'll see it on Saturday. But Gilbert Burns, I'm rooting for you, bro.
Yeah, so let's go. You got Burns and Masvidal. I got Vejeda and Adesanya both gonna be locked in. Let's just go, man. First fight. Let's go.
I don't even know who these first dudes are fighting in this first fight.
You don't know Rob?
We got Rojas Jr.
Yeah, Rojas Jr. You don't know him?
Man.
So he only has like one official fight in the UFC. This guy, he was a contender series guy. I'm pretty sure he's like 17 years old, and he was off the contender series, and he's a highly skilled man, and you know, 17. I think the youngest fighter ever to be signed to the UFC, if not one of them. And yeah, he's on the main card. People are like, why is he on the main card? I mean, he's that dude. Why not have him on the main card? I mean, I think that's good. I think this is the way you should do it. You know what I mean? You should give guys a shot and just throw someone up. Like, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, let's build this guy up and slowly bring him up to the main card. It's like, no, let him go. Let them, you know, test out the waters. He could even lose that fight. I mean, I don't think he's going to lose that fight, but he could lose that fight. He might not even be. But let it play out. You know what I mean? Let mix it up a little bit. Give a guy that, you know, it's just starting out. Put them on the main card. Let them go. I mean, who knows? That could even be, you know, the fight everyone's talking about come Sunday. You know, and say, damn, like that fight really kicked it off. That was crazy, you know? So, yeah, but that's who Rojas Jr. is. He's a contender series guy. I think he's 17 years old. He's 1-0 in the U.S. It's only his second UFC fight.
All right, well, I'm not going to pick that fight. But being that he's 18, and basically I think this is his first fight on the main card, that means one thing to me. The UFC sees star potential in this young man. And they are going to do what they can to protect him until, you know, he get into the top 15. But I don't know enough about to predict this fight, being that the UFC knowing to protect their young stars. I think he wins this fight. I'm going to say probably unanimous decision. And, you know, it gets the main card kicked off in a way that casual fans would like.
Yeah, I think Rojas Jr., I don't know Christian Rodriguez, so it's hard for me to say, like, oh, this guy does this, he does. But from what I've seen, Rojas Jr., man, the dude's skilled, and he's a highly skilled man, and he's coming in to roll this guy, man. That's probably how that's going to go. He's probably going to roll him. This is probably either going to be – he's definitely into jiu-jitsu. You know, he's definitely a submission guy. I see he probably comes in either – I'm going to just go right ahead. I'm going to say first-round submission, bro, because I wanted to say either first or second-round submission, but knowing this dude, like, he gets to work pretty quick, and unless you're going to be competent on the ground, you're going to have a hard time with him, and it's going to be a short night at the office for you. So, yeah, I'm going Rojas Jr., first-round submission.
Oh, man, okay. All right. Then we move into some names that we know a little better. We got Kevin Holland taking on Ponzinibbio. Kevin Holland is a -260. Ponzinibbio is a +210. Kevin Holland has an eight-inch reach advantage. I don't think that's even worth talking about. But Holland, Ponzinibbio, man, what a fight. Who you got?
Yo, honestly, I'm going to say it's tough. Before I give my prediction, it was crazy to look at the odds and see Ponzinibbio. It was interesting to see the way they placed the odds. Like, I really thought that, and I still think this is a closer fight than what the odds would suggest, you know? Because what are they saying? -245 for Holland and +205. So I think money is coming in on Ponzinibbio. It's just interesting that Ponzinibbio would be a 2-point underdog. I mean, this is really like, I guess you could say like Ponzinibbio is really a striker and like you really don't see much more from him. This guy he just wants to scrap it out, or he's just gonna, you know, fight. He's kind of like a decision fighter. I mean, you could see a finish from him, but he's really like a guy that's just going to, like, you know, outstrike you. As where Holland, maybe they see more weapons in Kevin Holland, you know. Kevin Holland can do more. He's got some grappling. He's got, I think he's a jiu-jitsu black belt. Like, he's got a couple more pieces there that you see him use. So I guess that's why, but I don't know. I thought this fight was closer. Is it going to be?
Middleweight.
Yeah, I can't tell where Kevin Holland's fighting at anymore, because sometimes he was at middleweight, then he was at welterweight, then he was just fighting at 180. I want to say the last time we saw him, so I really don't even know. I feel like it's a tough call, but I'll say this. I think I'll lean towards Kevin Holland. But in a competitive fight, I just think if Kevin Holland can, if he can get Ponzinibbio down, I think he could tap Ponzinibbio. I could see that happening. As far as like the firefight, as far as the striking match, I think that's where it could probably go either way. I think that's where the fight becomes closer, is them just standing there throwing hands, because Ponzinibbio's got hands. We know that. Ponzinibbio is a very good striker, so that's why the odds surprised me. I don't know, man. You give your prediction first. This one's crazy, man.
Oh, this one easy for me. I'm going with Kevin Holland, man. I think Kevin Holland gets it done in the second round via TKO. I think this is a fight that Kevin Harlan, especially if Ponzinibbio doesn't wrestle him. I haven't seen Ponzinibbio try to wrestle in quite a few fights now. So I think he thinks that he can knock Kevin Harlan out. And that's a bad mistake. If you don't make Kevin Harlan think inside the octagon and he just can come forward and throw punches, he's going to make quick work of you. And I see the same thing happening Saturday. I think Ponzinibbio doesn't faint and show him that I'm going to try to take you down, or faint and run a vacuum to let him know that she's there. But it's over, man. I just think Ponzinibbio is not going to do the things that he's supposed to do to win this fight. I got Kevin Harlan, man, second round TKO.
I'm gonna go with you on that. I'm gonna say Kevin Harlan takes this fight, but I do think it'll be a competitive fight. I think Kevin Harlan wins it in a competitive fight. I'm gonna go with unanimous decision. I like Kevin Harlan by unanimous decision. I think this is gonna be more competitive than the odds would suggest, but we'll see who's the better man. That's how we're gonna go with that.
All right, I ain't mad about that. Hey, next fight, we got Rob Font, +160, going against Adrian Yanez. And a bantamweight tilt. I'm looking at the measurements. There isn't nothing really that stands out, except that Robert Font, takedown accuracy is 37.5%, whereas Adrian Yanez has a big goose egg over there. He has a goose egg for takedown average, takedown accuracy, and submission average. So this is not a good look, but, you know, we still have time before he got to make the walk. How do you feel about this fight, Keys?
I think this is another one where the odds kind of surprised me again, because I felt like Rob Font is still very much on the come up, you know?
Yep.
I feel like Rob Font's still very much on the come up, and it kind of seems like he's definitely giving an up and coming guy a shot, you know? Like Adrian Yanez, they're both in the rankings. It's not like Yanez is, you know, this brand new guy. It's not like where Rojas Jr. is completely, you know, he's brand new. But Yanez is, you know, Font didn't have to give him a shot. You know what I mean? I feel like this is a guy that, like, he didn't really have to fight down and take, you know what I mean? But Rob Font's a warrior, you know? And I think the experience is going to play a part, man. Like, Rob Font has fought some serious guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's fought, you know, former world champions. This dude, I don't know, man. And I like Giannis, too. I don't know, man. Giannis isn't just going to be able to walk in and just knock him out. You know what I mean? Rob Font, when is the last time you've seen Rob Font get knocked out? You know what I'm saying? This dude is a beast. And I think him as the underdog, they're wilding a little bit with that, man. I don't know. I feel like if anything, at most, this should be a pick'em, bro. I don't think Rob Font as the underdog is criminal, bro. I don't know. Y'all are wilding out, bro. Rob Font is still on the come up, man. This dude is a beast, and he's durable, you know. Who'd you have in this? Did you make your prediction?
I think Rob Font, even though he's coming off of two losses, if you look at who he's fought and who he's lost to, I think the experience is going to matter in this fight. Let me pull this up real quick. I just want to say who Rob Font has fought. In his last five fights, Marlon Vera, Jose Aldo, Cody Garbrandt, Marlon Moraes and Ricky Simon. That's who he's fought in his last five fights. Your level of competition and who you have fought does mean something to me, because it means that you are fighting the best of the best and you are striving to be a champion. If we look at Adrian Yanez, he's fought Kelly, Davy Grant, Costa, Lopez, and Rodriguez. Out of those five names, I don't know four of these guys. So, yeah, man, I'm going with Rob Font. I'm going with unanimous decision, man. I think he makes it look easy. He gets back on the winning track. And plus, he's one of Key's homeboys from where Key's grew up at, where Key's live at. So, yeah, I'm going with Rob Font.
Yeah, and let me look at this. I want to say Rob Font is from Woburn. Hold on. Rob Font. We're going to just fact check this real quick. I'm almost positive. I'm pretty sure he's from Woburn, which is like maybe a half hour from where I live. That's definitely around my way. That's very close. Let me just check this out. All right, now, Rob Font, he's not from Woburn, but he was born in Leominster, Mass., which that's not as close, but it's still pretty damn close in the grand scheme of things, you know. The United States is very big. I mean, from where I am to Leominster, that's like maybe an hour drive, maybe hour and a half, I think. It might be even closer than that. I'm not sure. It's not necessarily where my part of the state, but, you know, he's from around the way, man. I don't know why I thought he was from Woburn. Oh, okay. No, it is. So he was born in Leominster, but it says fighting out of Woburn, Mass. Okay. I think fighting out of means, like, that's where they live, I think. I think that's what that means. That's where they're at. Okay, so he is in Woburn. Okay, so that's like a half hour for me. So shout out to Rob Font, man. Shout out to Rob Font. I love when you got Massachusetts fighters, you know, getting in there, bro. That's so dope. Yeah, I think Rob Font's going to win this fight, man. And guess what? I'm going to go out special, baby. Third round TKO. He's taking Giannis out, man. And that's just it. The experience, bro, he's coming in, bro. This dude fought, you know, some of the best guys, you know, at 135. He's still on the come up. And he's about to show us something on Saturday night, man. I think so. Giannis is going to come with it, but I don't think it's going to be enough. Rob Font with the key special, man. That's my pick.
Hey, I ain't mad at you, bro. I think Rob Font gets it done. All right, we got the co-main event. Gilbert Burns, -475, going against Jorge Masvidal, +350. Let me know. Talk to me.
All right, so who we got, Burns and Masvidal? Okay. So I feel like this. Like, this is a fight where it's pretty easy for me to say I think Burns will win the fight. But at the same time, I'm not going to pick Burns. I'm going to pick Masvidal because I think Burns could easily win this fight, and I think he may very well win the fight. But I think he could very well lose the fight by not – and this is kind of – you're going to say, like, I said the word fight so many times – by not making it his fight, you know, because I could really see Burns – I could believe in a world where Burns comes into this fight playing right into Masvidal's hands and just, like, trying to just stand in front of him the whole time and getting cracked. You know, I could definitely see Burns doing that because Burns has pretty much every skill. You know, he's pretty much, like, he's probably one of the most well-rounded guys in the UFC. But and with that being said, he could get in there and finish Masvidal pretty quickly if he just wanted to, like, yo, let me go in and take him down and just take his back instantly. He could probably do that. But I feel like he might get a little emotional on this, and I think he might end up playing into Masvidal's hands and get cracked. I just have a bad feeling. I think Masvidal is going to look better in this fight than what we've seen of him. I know that it doesn't make you happy to hear that, but I just get this – I got this bad feeling, man. You know I'm not a fan of Masvidal. I don't really want to see him win. I can't stand that guy. You know what I mean? Yo, he's in, like, my bottom three, man, in the UFC, the dudes that I just can't. But I just got a bad feeling that Burns is just going to – he's not going to fight his fight, bro. He's going to fight Masvidal's fight. And I think that might get him cracked, bro. So I think – what's this, a three-rounder?
Damn. Yeah, three-rounder.
Shit, I'm going to have to go – I'm going to go with Masvidal with the key special on this one, man. Oh, my God. He's going to crack Burns, bro. Actually, you know what? It won't be the key special. I'm going to do second round. I'm going to say Masvidal's second round TKO. The cousin of the key special, exactly.
Hey, Keith, in your words, I don't want Masvidal to win. But if he do win, he's going to earn this win. Because Gilbert Burns is not an easy out. We seen Gilbert Burns against Hamzat. We seen Gilbert Burns against Kamaru Usman. This guy is not an easy out. So if Masvidal can find some kind of way to win this fight, all hats off to him, but we shall see. Going to the main event, we have Israel Adesanya trying to recapture his belt against Pereira. Izzy is favorite, -135 to Perez, +115. There is nothing out of place, so it seems major in the tail of the tape. So, Keith, who do you have in this fight?
Man, I'm going to say this. This is really the key. And there's actually an interview. I just was looking at a clip a bit earlier of Adesanya almost slipped and said something at the, I don't know if it was at the media day or what, about, you know, something to do with his game plan. I'll actually tag you on the clip. I'm pretty sure I can find it fairly easily. And I just think this, unless he can turn into Israel Nurmagomedov overnight, I don't see him winning this fight, man. I just don't. I don't think he has to come out and take it to the mat and just dominate. You know what I mean? He has to, because I don't think you can point fight with a guy like Pereira. I don't think you can. Like, I don't think this is the type of guy that's going to let you, like, you know, jab and leg kick and fight at distance. You know, this guy, when he puts on too much pressure, you're in so much danger. You know what I mean? This guy it's like he just kind of like lurks and he'll eventually find you and he'll find that big shot, you know, and he has a ton of power. Like, we obviously know that. So I'm going with Alex Pereira to win this fight. The only way I can see it for Israel is if he could turn it to Israel Nurmagomedov overnight, but I really don't think I don't think he'll have enough to do it. You know, it's just not – that's never been his style. Can he take Pereira down? I'm sure he can. But can he dominate it and keep it on the mat? Maybe, but the rounds always start on the feet, and I think that's the problem. So, yeah, I'm going with Pereira to win that one. Probably, man, I'm gonna go with an early one, man. I think Pereira takes him out of there early this time. I don't think we see the one we did before. I'm going with Pereira. I think I'm going Pereira. Have we ever seen Israel knocked out cold? Nah, we have.
You think you're going with Pereira?
We haven't, but we might, though. I think Pereira's second round KO. That's what I think. I think so.
Wow, I thought you would go Izzy full-blown. Hey, Keys, I can't even lie, man. Everything you said is true. I don't know which way I'm leaning in this fight because Pereira seems to be the kryptonite to Adesanya because of his style. but Adesanya was so dominant in his title run that it makes you think, nah, man, this guy, he got lucky. This guy's the new Chris Weidman. So, Keith, I really don't know who I want to pick in this fight. Oh, man. I'm going with Pajeda, man. I think Pajeda is the kryptonite to Adesanya. I think his pressure and him not respecting Izzy's power and his force to move forward every time he's stopping the octagon, I think that presents a problem to Izzy. I'm going with Pereira. I'm going to say... Yeah, man, I'm going, I want to pick Izzy so bad. But I'm going with Pereira, man. I'm going to say Pereira get it done, split decision, and still, Pereira wins the fight. Hey, so any last thoughts, bro?
Nah, we covered it. WrestleMania, we covered the merger, UFC merger deal, and you know, we got the UFC 287 with give the people some analysis, all our sound bites, not all, but some of the top quotes from this show up on our Twitter. So go hit us up on Twitter at Lee and Keys, capital RT, Lee and Keys Real Talk. Add us on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Reply to anything we posted. We'll hit you back for sure. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank everybody for listening, and have a great night. Floor is yours, bro.
Man, Keys, you be on it on this Twitter, man. It's like Keys have a microphone to both of us, and he goes out and just put it out there. But I don't have anything, man. You know, everybody take care of yourselves, take care of each other, stay positive, you know, live your life to the fullest. And as always, Lee and Keys, we always sign out with a peace.